Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Graybar Sports on a Sunday morning.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Milliken's win! Milliken's win!
Now from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
And from our studios in downtown St. Louis, we go just across this area of the city to Midtown and Topgolf, and that is where we find the manager of the St. Louis Cardinals, Oliver Marmol. Good morning, Ollie. How are things over there?
What's going on, man? Things are going well. It's busy in an awesome way.
I bet. I don't want to keep you too long, but I wanted to lead the show off with you because today's a big day in the city, Ollie. Mizzou is playing Illinois in the Bragging Rights game at Enterprise Center, and I thought it would be a good idea for people who are heading downtown to go see that game to swing by Topgolf because it is your fourth annual toy giveaway. You and your wife, Amber, are giving away thousands of toys, aren't you?
Yeah, we partnered with Marlon Whitfield and his foundation. He does an incredible job of just being tied into the community and giving back. They do a lot within the arts and just different areas for kids in need. And, man, it's cool to be here with Marlon and his team. They've done a phenomenal job putting this together. We'll give away more than 2,000 toys today, hundreds of families coming through. It's cool to see just the joy in these family spaces, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it's a neat facility, too, the second Topgolf to go up in the area and a great place to do something like that. Set the scene for us. What do you see out there right now? Who's there? And paint a picture for us, if you would, about what people could see when they drop by and what they can do.
Yeah, it's just a ton of families coming through right now, and it's cool to see man, for different situations. The families are going through different troubles, and to be able to walk through and see their kids pick out toys and leave here with a smile on their face and just being able to enjoy a better Christmas. This is a good time. I try to do it every year, Tom. This time of year, just tell myself to slow down, man. I feel like God shows you opportunities where you can lend a hand and be of help to another family. And that's exactly what we're doing today.
I agree with you. It is a good time to step back and be with your family and friends and what matters most, no doubt about it. What about people listening, Ollie, Cardinals fans and beyond? And as I mentioned, a lot of people coming in for the game today. How can people make a donation? What can they do? And if they can't be there today to donate, what can they do to donate?
Yeah, so we have plenty of toys. I think when you look at different families and certain bills and things that will come through and help them with as well, the Whitfield family, the foundation, being able to go to the site there and donate directly could be of immense help, man. So if if people are able to slow down a little bit and contribute to whatever degree they're able to, that would be amazing.
And I'll give you a phone number, folks, if you'd like to call. It's 314-947-5783. That's 314-947-5783 to give and be part of this fourth annual toy giveaway. Ollie Marmol and his wife Amber at Topgolf Midtown doing great things for the community. Ollie, while I have you for just a couple of minutes more, just your reaction, your overview. I know you talked to the media at the winter meetings in Dallas. That was a little time ago. Some things have transpired since then. Just your overview of where you stand right now as a St. Louis Cardinals organization.
Yeah, I mean, the main thing, we see Goldie with the news yesterday. I was able to kind of exchange texts with him, and one of my favorite dudes I've ever been around. Obviously, great player, but what he meant to the organization during his time here, it's just incredible. This is a guy that's extremely thoughtful, he's intentional, and a great, great human that a lot of us learn from. So wish him the best. But internally, we're excited about the year. We really are, man. I've been able to talk to all of our players. They're getting after it, and we'll have a young core that we're going to allow to play and just go have some fun together. So as a fan, I think it's an exciting time to come to the stadium and see a lot of these guys play.
I think it's a good point finally here. You know, it sounds like you are pushing this as a winning club, a winning attitude, and winning, of course, is what everybody wants to do. But creating opportunities for young players is another thing. Of course, we could go down the list of young players that are going to get a shot here. I look right in your division. You saw it up front. Jackson Churio made his major league debut on opening day last year. Maybe people didn't think much of him at the time. Ollie, he became a pretty big star in this game over 1 year of getting an opportunity.
Yeah, and when you look at how he – if you look at his spring training numbers and you look at his stars and then you look at where he finished – giving players the ability to fail and not feel like if I go 0-for-4 tonight, I may not be here tomorrow plays a big role in development. And this is what, I mean, a lot of the conversation has kind of revolved itself around is allowing these guys to hopefully have a ton of success. But when they go through periods, whether that's a week, 2 weeks, a month of failure, man, just knowing like we have your back, we're going to stand behind you and just continue to work on the things that are going to lead you in the right direction. And for players like a Jordan Walker and some of these other guys, that could be incredible. And talking to him, he's been getting after it down to Florida. He's with his family right now in Atlanta. Brant Brown, our hitting coach, is able to go down and spend a week with him down there with him and Siani and some others. And I am as excited as ever about what we're going to see this upcoming year.
I look forward to meeting Brant Brown and the new members of the front office and your staff.
Personality, man.
Yeah, that's what I hear. It's going to be a good time to seeing you down in Jupiter, seeing you at the winter warm-up. There's a lot to come. And right now, Ollie is at Topgolf in Midtown. Oliver Marmol, Cardinals manager, and his wife, Amber, with the fourth annual toy giveaway. Ollie, thank you for this time. Thanks for leading off the show today. We hope you have a huge success today giving toys away to those families.
I appreciate it, and thanks for getting the word out.
You got it. Manager Oliver Marmol of the St. Louis Cardinals joining us to kick off sports on a Sunday morning on KMOX. When we come back, the baseball talk continues. Derek Gould, beat writer for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, Cardinals broadcaster Ricky Horton. They will both be with us next on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports on a Sunday morning.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Milliken's win! Milliken's win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Welcome back to the show. You heard right there in that compilation of highlights, one of the voices you hear every season on Cardinal Baseball, Cardinals broadcaster Ricky Horton is with us this morning on KMOX. How are you, Ricky?
I'm doing great, Tom. Great to be with you. Happy Sunday to you, and great to be talking baseball.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you and your family. And also with us is Cardinals beat writer from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, Derek Gould. Derek, good morning. It's great to be with you.
Good morning, Tom and Ricky. Happy holidays, guys. Good to chat with you.
Happy holidays, buddy. We have a lot to talk about. We just had Ollie Marmol on the show. The Cardinals manager was with us and talked about Paul Goldschmidt being acquired by the New York Yankees and how he texted with Goldie. We'll get into that in just a minute. But, Ricky, I wanted to start with you and the passing of Ricky Henderson, one of the greatest players in baseball history. There is no doubt about that. Just your feelings here this morning.
Well, he was an unbelievable player, first and foremost, and I had a chance to compete against him my 1 year in the American League. And my classic answer to the question, who's the guy you hated to face the most, was Ricky Henderson, because not only was he a power guy, but he had a tremendous eye for the strike zone. We're just talking sports here, but the ability to understand the strike zone, and if he walked, it was a triple because of his great speed. He was an exciting player, and he had such a small strike zone. Very, very hard to pitch to, and I pitched against some good power hitters, but Ricky Henderson's the hardest guy I faced, and, honestly, he had a wonderful career and unfortunately died too young.
He absolutely did. He has passed away at the age of 65. Derek, if you put it in historical perspective, there may never be another Ricky Henderson, the greatest leadoff hitter of all time.
Oh, you ain't kidding. I mean, what, he set the record by far for stolen bases. He set the record by far for leadoff home runs. I was always struck by, look, he was one of the greatest players of my youth. We had to get the batting gloves, right, Tom? I mean, I had those Mizuno lightning bug green batting gloves that you had to get because Ricky Henderson was just, he was a live wire talent. And when you think about baseball, the whole purpose of it is to score runs and stop someone from scoring runs. And no one scored more runs than Ricky Henderson. He's 50 ahead of anyone else who has ever played in Major League Baseball. And that, to me, like, just vaults him into the conversation. You know, you think about total bases, it's Hank Aaron. You think about current players who are great, it's obviously Albert Pujols with more than 700 home runs. But I don't know how far down you get that list before you get to Ricky Henderson as one of the greatest ball players of all time. It's probably top five, right? Because he just produced runs.
There is no doubt. It is a sad day. Tony La Russa and so many people who were connected with Ricky through the years are mourning his loss, as all of us who are tremendous fans of the game. Ricky Horton, Derek Gould, both with us. Ricky, I spoke with Ollie Marmol just before this segment. He told me he did text with Paul Goldschmidt yesterday, and they talked. You know, he thought so highly, we all do, I think, of Paul Goldschmidt as a man. His leadership qualities in that clubhouse were second to none. They really did look up to Goldie, didn't they?
Yeah, there's no question. And I kind of think it's a pretty good fit for him to go to New York. Now, he doesn't seem like a New York kind of guy to me in some ways. But the point is, his leadership among kind of a team that's expecting to win, I think could be at the next level for the New York Yankees. And, we wish him well. You know, he's a good defender, really good defender, Gold Glover, leadership in the clubhouse. But, you know, what I also thought about, first thing I thought about when I thought about the Yankees, is he's got great power to right field. And, maybe if he finds that swing again where he hits the ball to right field, I mean, who knows what kind of year he might have.
You agree with that, Derek?
Absolutely. I mean, that jet stream at New Yankee Stadium, I mean, it's right there. You know, it's not a ballpark that is very kind to pull side right-handers unless you're like, you know, Giancarlo Stanton and Aaron Judge. But guys who have opposite field power, and look, since what, about 2013? From about 2013 to 2022, no one had more opposite field home runs in baseball than Paul Goldschmidt. And that's right up, no pun intended, his alley right there at the Bronx. It'll play well for him. And we saw in the World Series, they needed to pin down their defense, and that they're making a play for that. You know, strikeout relievers with Devin Williams and defense on the infield. That's going to be a bit of a changed team.
Nolan Arenado, more of a pull hitter, Derek, and the question still remains, where will Nolan end up in 2025? Do the Yankees still have a play for him?
They do. You know, that's one of the teams that the Cardinals have talked to. There's obviously the teams out west that don't seem to be great fits for him now, but can things shift around where, you know, the Dodgers, Padres emerge? You know, obviously this past week he declined a trade that was in place or at least developing for, you know, with the Houston Astros. He said that it wasn't the right fit now. Didn't close the door off entirely to the Astros, but they did that by, you know, starting this whole run on first baseman just over the past 48 hours. What a run on first baseman in the market. And a lot of this, speaking of runs, is going to come down to, what does Bregman do? Where does Alex Bregman go? If he takes, you know, it doesn't look like the Astros are going to be in play for him after signing Christian Walker. So does he race to Boston? Then does that leave the Yankees without a third baseman? Or does he race to to the Yankees, and then now Boston is? Or does he go to Detroit to reunite with A.J. Hinch and leave both of those AL East teams looking for a third baseman? A lot of that seems to be where the weight is for Arenado, is what is the best fit, and he wants to give time for that to develop.
And, Ricky, while it's hard to say goodbye to names like this and incredible yeah. players like this, there is something on the other side, and that is the exploration into what you have. The young players getting an opportunity is potentially exciting. It could end up not working, but you have to find out, don't you?
Well, it can be both exciting and not work at the same time. I mean, that's possible. I mean, when you've got young guys, you've got Victor Scott playing, you've got, you know, Jordan Walker, and you've got Nolan Gorman getting a chance to find out just how good he can be. Yeah, it's going to be exciting. There's going to be some down times, as there always are, even with the star players. That happens. But the point is, you know, you're at a point. I think the organization just realized they're at a point. I think we all agree on this. They've been very clear about it, too, is it's time to do something different. And it's time to give these kids a chance to play, the younger players, and see what they've got. And they've got some guys coming, too, behind them. And so it just is kind of where the Cardinals are right now. Who knows what their ceiling is?
This is Cardinals broadcaster Ricky Horton and Cardinals beat writer from the Post-Dispatch, Derek Gould, with us on Sports on a Sunday Morning on KMOX. Derek, big night coming, January 19th, mm-hmm. the Baseball Writers' Dinner at the Missouri Athletic Club. You have some big names. We have some big names because Ricky and I are both involved in it. The 85 team, you're going to have Ozzie Smith honored, Mason Wynn, and much, much more. It should be an incredible night.
Absolutely. January 19th there in downtown St. Louis at the Missouri Athletic Club. You know, we got Ryan Helsley, who set the record for Cardinals single season saves. He's going to be the baseball man of the year. And we're bringing in the guy whose record he broke, Trevor Rosenthal, to present him with the award. We're very thrilled to give the Red Shandies Medal, one of our highest honors, to Ozzie Smith for all he's done for baseball, for St. Louis, as an ambassador for both. Bob Kendrick from the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum is coming over to get one of our other prized awards, which is for innovation, and that's the Branch Rickey Award. Very excited to have him. You know, I think down the list, we got Baseball America coming to present Quinn Matthews with their Pitcher of the Year Award. That's for their all of the minor leagues. The lefty from the Cardinals organization, who had 200 strikeouts this past year, was picked as their top minor league pitcher. So Baseball America is coming to St. Louis to present him with that award. And then, Tom, if you'll let me, I get to, like, exclusively reveal another award winner, if you don't mind.
Yes,
is that
please
all right
do. I'd love to hear the announcement.
All right. Well, we're thrilled, as the Riders, to present the Harry Mittower Good Guy Award to one and only Ricky Horton for all he's done for the dinner through the years. And for all he's meant, he's been great to us. He's been a participant in the dinners. He's a great, as you know, representative of both baseball and St. Louis and the Cardinals everywhere he goes. And I can't think of anyone more deserving for the Good Guy Award. So congratulations, Ricky.
Wow. Thank you, Derek. Wow. That is so humbling to hear that. And I'm going to have to be on my best behavior, I guess, between now and then, if I'm going to get that award. But honestly, that, you know, that actually means a lot to me. And I know of several of the people who've gotten it in the past, and I love the Baseball Writers Dinner. And, you know, that's going to be an honor to kind of be in that list of people that have received that. And of course, on top of that, and again, I'm really thankful to hear that, Derek, and grateful to all the writers who I love, but you also will be celebrating the anniversary of the 1985 team throughout the 2025 season, and I'll be interviewing both Todd Worrell and Vince Coleman at an event prior with some of the major sponsors for this event, and so there's a lot going on, and it's always a great time, but Derek, thank you so much for that news.
It's exciting.
Yeah, and I hope you don't mind that we volunteered you to give another speech at the dinner. That is the one thing about the
I'm a broadcaster. I guess I'm supposed to speak. That's I'm getting all my rest here in the off season. I'll be ready.
Congratulations, man. I could not be happier
that's
for
awesome.
You. That is incredible.
That's very kind.
Love
very
it.
Kind.
Ricky
Thank
Horton
you.
Is going to receive the Good Guy Award, the 65th annual St. Louis Baseball Writers Dinner. It's Sunday, January 19th at the Missouri Athletic Club. All you have to do to purchase tickets, I'm looking at it right now, stlouisbbwaa.com. You just click purchase tickets and you will have a baseball experience like you've never had before. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being with us. Have a great Sunday and Merry Christmas to both of you.
Same to you,
Tom.
Tom.
Happy
Derek,
New Year. Good. I don't talk to you.
Yep.
Be well.
Good to visit with both of you guys.
Great to talk to both of you. This is Sports on a Sunday Morning on KMOX. It's 10:28. When we come back, we'll be joined by St. Louis University basketball coach Josh Schertz. You're listening to KMOX from the Stiefel Sports Studio.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Deck your home with Blinds.com. DIY or let us install. Free design consultation. Plus free samples and free shipping.
Ho, ho, ho! Blinds.com invented a better way to buy custom high-quality window treatments with no showroom mock-ups or waiting around for quotes from pushy salespeople, saving you time and money for the holidays with upfront pricing right on our website.
Go right now to Blinds.com. Satisfaction guaranteed.
Satisfaction guaranteed.
Deck your home this holiday season with Blinds.com. Save up to 40% on select styles, plus a free professional measure. Blinds.com.
Blinds.com.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday morning.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Milliken's win! Milliken's win!
Once again, from the Stiefel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Welcome back to the show. We are joined, let's go down to Phoenix, Arizona now, and we're joined by the head coach of the St. Louis Billikens. His team is about to take on Grand Canyon. It'll be a 3 o'clock tip. Right here on KMOX this afternoon. Good morning, Josh Schertz. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Tom. How are you?
Doing great. You're closing out your non-conference road schedule, and it has been a busy one for sure. Back and forth you go, home to road to home to road. I know that I feel like you're almost there, but I know that you want to be there like now, or the fans do, and everybody wants to win all the time. You're getting close to where you want to be. I feel like if you could get healthy, you might have a better shot at it. You'll be challenged today.
Yeah, we played an underratedly good non-conference schedule. I think I was looking at it. We played more teams in the top, I believe, 150 or 175 than anybody in our league, even Dayton. We played a ton of good teams, probably not the high-end teams. This will be our fourth game against a top 100 team and our fifth, potentially quad one, quad two game of the non-conference all the way from home. So, we've challenged ourselves, but like you said, we've made some progress, but we just haven't been able to be, consistent enough with our best level. We've shown it in spurts. It's been in pockets, but it's, obviously just not been good enough, of course,
you want to have your team. And, you know, we all know what we're missing with Kellen and a few other guys. But end of the day, you know, we got to figure it out, and we got to be, you know, able from a, you know, a competitive standpoint, from a physicality standpoint, a focus standpoint, you know, to be able and a connectedness, togetherness standpoint, to be able to be tough enough to do that over the 40 minutes.
Yeah, you needed it against Wofford. That Wofford team, I'm not sure how many teams you'll play like that, where they just grind it out. I described it on the broadcast as kind of excruciating to watch because they bring that shot clock down to single digits and then try to pound it inside. That's a game, actually, that Kellen Thames, I think, would have really thrived in, I feel like.
Yeah, Wofford was a good team. I mean, again, you know, they're you know, it's a tough game they had. I think, you know, 15 points in the final 2 seconds with the shot clock. Some of those, you know, some of that was us. A lot of that was them. You know, the two shots Filowich made late, the, you know, floater from the free throw line and the hook and the, you know, Lorenz making a three over the top of Kalu. There was some really good defense that we didn't get rewarded for, and there was enough breakdowns, you know, defensively inside the game for us not to, you know, be able to get the number we need to be. And, you know, and when you, you know, we do what we did from the free throw line, you put a lot of pressure on your defense as well. But no doubt that Kellen, you know, makes a huge difference. You know, when he was healthy, I think first 4 games of the year, I think people forget because it feels like a lifetime ago. But, you know, he was averaging, you know, I think 15 points and 7.5 rebounds. And talk about a guy who, you know, our best vertical driver, you know, a guy that plays with a ton of energy. And I think is a guy that, you know, that type of stuff's contagious. But no question, he's one of our best players. He's obviously, you know, out today. You know, that'll be, you know, hip flexor. You know, he's working back from that. We obviously still have the cramping stuff. So, but, you know, out today. But again, we have enough to come in here and win. But it's going to be a heck of a challenge against a really good team. And one of the, you know, it's already a sellout. One of the hardest road environments in college basketball.
Yeah, their student section is absolutely bonkers. I don't know how many of them will show up because the students aren't in session, I don't believe, and that might not stop them. I mean, yeah. You're right. They draw really well, and that team advanced to the tournament last year.
Yeah, they've got 4 starters back from a team that was, you know, 30-5 last year and advanced to the second round of the NCAA tournament. They, a little bit like us, have been beat up. Their center, Duke Brennan, missed I think the first 4 games. Foster Grant missed a couple games, I think first 2 or 3. So, you know, they didn't have 2 of their guys early, got off to a little bit of a rough start. But since then, they played really well. Their 2 losses since then were, you know, at a really good Louisiana Tech team there by a couple. And then on a neutral to Georgia, they lost by 5. So, really good team, NCAA tournament team, you know, will be a, you know, top 50, 75 team in the country, no question. And yeah, this environment will be, you know, I haven't, you know, been through the A-10, but in terms of our non-conference, it'll be the best one we've played in. It's we found out last night, you know, even with the students out, it's a sellout. How many of that will be students, I don't know. But, you know, it'll be a great atmosphere against a really good team. And, you know, it is a chance for us to kind of, you know, try to, you know, finish this non-conference in a really good way. We've, like I said, we've done things in fits and starts and spurts, but just have lacked, like I said, the consistency of being able to find our best level. And it seems like, you know, we give ourselves chances and then we have found a way, you know, these last couple of games to shoot ourselves in the foot. So got to be better, and we'll have to play our best game here. The non-conference season, have a chance today for sure.
You will have 2 of the best players on the floor. Heck, 2 of the best players in the country. There's no doubt about it. You will always have that going for you as long as they're healthy. Robbie Avila and Isaiah Swope coming over from Indiana State. Everybody asks about Robbie. How does he look? How's the ankle looking? It looks good to me. He has controlled basketball games and looks like the old Robbie to me, Coach.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think his last 2 or 3 games, you know, the rust is off. He looks more confident. He's moving a little bit better. I thought his defense against you know, Wofford was, you know, as good as it's been all year. Looked more mobile, looked a little more physical. I think that's, you know, when you're coming back, this team, you know, from a physicality standpoint, we haven't been, you know, nearly what it needs to be. And part of that, you know, is Robbie coming back, and I think a little bit, you know, ginger on the ankle, a little bit of conditioning. And then just with numbers, you know, having to be thrown in to play a lot more minutes than we would have hoped. But I think he's definitely, you know, I'd say the last 3 or 4 games has looked more like himself, you know, and I'd say he's 100% in terms of, you know, those things. So when he's playing well, I mean, you know, it obviously creates a ton. We had You know, we had 18 points, I think 8 assists, and really, you know, if we finish some plays around the rim, you know, that's closer to 12 or 13 assists against Wofford. And I thought, like I said, his defense was best it's been, and Isaiah Swope also, you know, is obviously, having a heck of a year. Those guys are carrying a big load, with all the stuff, you know, the injuries around them. We've had the big three available, you know, here the last 8 or 9 games, but with everything else around them, no KT, obviously AJ Casey working his way back from a, you know, high ankle sprain and some of the other things that have happened, Josiah, Larry, et cetera, they've had to carry a huge load for us.
You know, a lot will be made, was made, of missing free throws. You missed 15 of them, 20 of 35. And I get that. I understand that everybody focuses on that. I felt like it was more about you not being able to get stops when you had to and just not being able to get on a run. But the free throws are what they are. Kalu missed 7 of them. I just wonder, I'm trying to think as a coach how to handle something like that. Do you try to get your best shooters to the line as often as you can? Do you want to try to get Gibson to the line as often as you can? How do you alleviate that situation?
Yeah, I think it's a tough one. I mean, you know, the game kind of dictates. It's hard to generate, you know, like who's going to get to the line just because it's, you know, how people are guarding you. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the way we were being guarded, obviously, you know, with guys that we don't have, you know, a ton of shooting outside of Gibson, Robbie, and Isaiah. So manipulating where we put guys and putting guys in spots where they can be guarded and effective, you know, matters. Kalu got the line 11 times, you know, in that game and obviously, you know, struggled there, only made 3. I think, you know, he's working on it. I mean, we've been working on it. It's not like that's a new thing. I mean, people are always like, oh, work on your free throws. Well, of course, you know, we do. And his practice free throw percentage, you know, in terms of when we're scrimmaging and playing is obviously above that. When he's shooting them, you know, every single day, he's shooting a couple hundred a day, you know, he's working on it. But, you know, in the games, I think the more you kind of focus on that stuff, it can create a mental block for guys and give guys the yips. And I think part of the reason that, you know, other guys missed, because it wasn't just Kalu, you know, Robbie went up and missed a couple, Gibson missed 2, you know, Isaiah. I think some of that is it becomes contagious. Like guys see somebody miss, and then they start getting tight because, you know, the crowd obviously moans, which they should, you know. And so it kind of feels like guys go up the line and are maybe a little bit tighter than they would be when guys are making them. Because the previous game, now Kalu didn't shoot any at Illinois State, but we were 13 for 14 Illinois State from the line. So we were 90-plus percent, 92% or whatever from the free throw line in that game. And, you know, I think it's one of those things, you know, it's who gets there. I think the defense dictates some of that, but certainly we got to go up the line and make free throws. I don't think there's any question that we have to step up there and be able to knock them in. And again, you know, Kalu missed 8, but we missed 15, and we missed a 1-on-1, so that's really 16 the front end. And there was a number of guys who had you know, a hand in that. So we got to be better. But again, like you said, no one. When I look at, you know, basketball, I try to focus on the things we can control. And I think you can spend a lot of time, you know, no one's going to line and miss it on purpose. So, you know, we got to work on it. They got to get better at it, but no one's going up there missing on purpose. What you do got to do and what we can't control is our transition defense, you know, our physicality, guarding those screens. Wofford runs a ton of them, you know, getting through that, our connectedness defensively, our ball pressure, our hand activity, our presence. So we force more than 4 turnovers. There's a lot of things we can't control. We get better at the free throws. I think the more you focus on that, more you talk about it, the more it becomes a, you know, kind of a mental hurdle for guys. And now you actually wind up having the opposite effect.
Well, I'll be curious to see how it works against Grand Canyon in terms of your rotation, who you bring off the bench. It's always interesting to see what you have at your disposal with all the injuries and the issues that you're dealing with. That's basketball. We know this. Yep. You'll be tipping at 3. You got a 2:45 pregame on KMOX, and it's always a lot of fun when the ball goes up in the air. You just never know what's going to happen.
No, it'll be a great challenge. I mean, look, you know, we've got to be better. There's no question. You know, and I think our guys, you know, they obviously understand that. You know, no one's making any excuses. We're not using the injuries as a crutch. You know, we've got to figure it out. You know, we've got to play better. We've got to play better more consistently. But I think, you know, the bench showed some things in that game where I thought was, you know, was a positive. But we have to certainly be better, you know, for over the course of the 40 minutes, you know, without a doubt. So we got to continue to work. We'll get there. Today's a great opportunity for us to finish the non-conference in a great way, challenge ourselves against a really good team, and look forward to seeing, you know, what we look like. And I think the bench, like I said, that last game, Dylan Warlick, Amari McCautry, Killian Prokop, and I Max, I think this is a good matchup for him as well. So hopefully, you know, all four of those guys, you know, will get opportunities. Everybody that's dressed will get an opportunity to play.
Go have a great one. Appreciate you very much, and happy holidays to you and your family.
Appreciate it, Tom. Same to you guys. Have a Merry Christmas.
You too. There is Josh Schertz, the head coach of the St. Louis Billikens, with us on KMOX. It is 10:45. Mark Schreiber, the president of the St. Louis Sports Commission, comes our way next. 11 o'clock hour, we'll preview the Bragging Rights game. We'll get all into college football and the NFL. We'll hear Eli Drinkwitz's speech at the Jack Buck Awards. Bernie Miklas is with us. What a jam-packed show this has been already. Back in a moment on KMOX. 10:49, we're joined by the president of the St. Louis Sports Commission, Mark Schreiber. Mark, great to have you. My understanding is that you are on the move again. Louisville at the NCAA Women's Volleyball Championship. How are you doing?
I'm good, Tom. Good morning. Thanks for having me on. And yes, in Louisville this morning, going to catch the final today. And this is an event that we would love to bring to St. Louis. I say it's the highest profile NCAA championship we've yet to host, and it's becoming a perennial sellout. It would be terrific to be able to bring it to St. Louis.
Where would that be played? What would you present as the venue for that?
Enterprise Center. It'd be the perfect fit for the venue there. They've set an attendance record in Louisville at the Yum Center Thursday night. I think they had 20,000 fans in attendance. So, you know, we would be looking to fill Enterprise Center.
I feel like you've got some serious momentum here. You are landing events left and right. We just heard about the wrestling championships and, of course, the U.S. figure skating championships prior to the 2026 Olympics. That's a big one. That is a big, big audience, much like when Simone Biles came in for the U.S. gymnastics championships prior to the Olympics.
Exactly, and it's really thrilling to have some momentum going from the standpoint of events we're adding to the calendar. But as it relates to the figure skating championships, you know our Olympic legacy is a big deal to us. As America's first Olympic city, we want to do all we can to further that legacy. And so to host that event, a marquee event, 1 month before the Winter Olympics in Italy, and have America's best skaters come right through and be able to compete right in front of us, you know, the most talented athletes that we have, and have the U.S. Olympic team selected right at Enterprise Center, that's going to be special for our community.
That is absolutely outstanding. And I know the St. Louis Blues are great partners. Enterprise Center is a great Enterprise Center. I'm heading over there right after this to go watch the Bragging Rights game. That building is the real deal. I mean, a lot of people are talking about everything that they did inside. And I don't know if you're listening and you haven't been for whatever reason, and you remember Enterprise Center as something else. It really is special. A lot of people are talking about it.
I said at our announcement on Monday for figure skating, I made the point that when we brought in our colleagues from U.S. figure skating for a site visit in October and we toured the building, like as a St. Louisan, you can't help but just have immense pride showing that building off. Like, we were really challenged in, you know, around 2015, right before we hosted the SEC basketball tournament. And then the investment that the Blues, the city, and the state have made that facility top-notch. It's beautiful, and it's allowing us to be successful again in bringing major events into that building.
And we're competing with cities like the one you're in right now, Louisville. Of course, Indianapolis has done such a wonderful job, Nashville, but there are so many in this region we're going up against. The Frozen Four is coming here. And, Mark, I know that tickets are still available, but they won't be once these teams figure out that they're in the Frozen Four. I remember when the Frozen Four came here last time, and I know what those college hockey fans are all about. It'll be absolutely nuts. I mean, what a great opportunity to grab one now.
Yeah, and I'm not even sure that tickets are going to be available when the teams are announced, because we actually just put single session tickets on sale, and there's only, I think, 500 left for the semis and 400 left for the championship game. It's April 10th and 12th. And yeah, it just falls into that list. It's like the wrestling championships as well that, you know, have a huge visitor influx. It's so cool to see the out of town fans that come in all wearing their hockey jerseys of various teams. And the energy just downtown around this event is going to be wonderful. And as you made the point, if you want to be part of the event, probably not a good idea to wait till we get that to that weekend to get tickets.
Man, just big. The Blues and hockey and everything that's coming our way here. You know, I mentioned on Twitter the other day, I don't know if you saw it or not, but when there was an argument happening on our Gas House Gang show about bowl games, I said, look, if they're going to keep bowl games, they might as well give St. Louis a bowl game. I mean, we would support it incredibly well. My question to you is not that necessarily, but college football, making St. Louis a college football destination, I know has been on your mind. We saw Mizzou play Memphis recently. Where are we in terms of the Dome as a college football venue, hopefully for many, many years to come?
Yeah, we could do a whole segment just on bowl games itself. But great question, of course. And, you know, top of our list relative to college football is Mizzou and Illinois have a series coming up in 26 to 29. It's scheduled for on campus right now. But, you know, we'd love to be able to secure one or multiple games to bring that to the Dome. And we're doing the best we can from all angles. One, really trying to involve the universities and telling us what they need from a Dome standpoint in terms of making that building viable, and also just talking internally in St. Louis to do all we can to set up the facility to be ready to host a major event like that. So, you know, from a college football standpoint, Mizzou, Illinois, that's kind of top of the list. Mizzou versus anybody is also something that you know, is part of the possibilities. A kickoff classic involving teams of regional interest. I'd love one day to look at Army, Navy, even Notre Dame. We've even talked about an FCS week zero event. So there's a lot out there that we're looking at. And I think the bowl game, it may be sort of the least likely, just because that's becoming more and more challenging with the evolution of college football to really be able to get a matchup that's going to be a big draw in our community. But figuring out how we can do big-time regular season college football, that's something we want to make happen.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, no doubt. Well, Mizzou plays Illinois, and I know if you weren't in Louisville, you would be at the game today, noon tip-off. So I'll spread the word over there. I'll do what I can to get in people's ears about having this football game in St. Louis. And on top of that, I wish you the happiest of holidays, all the best with all of your events coming. I can't say it enough, what the St. Louis Sports Commission does for this area still, I think, gets underplayed a little bit, and people should recognize what Mark Schreiber and his incredible group are doing. December 29th, a week from today, the Musial Awards on CBS in that big-time window following the NFL. It's just one thing after the other. Mark, congratulations. And thank you for being with us on KMOX.
Tom, thanks a lot. And just grateful for all the support we get from our board and supporters in the community and just the wonderful job you do. So happy holidays to you, your family, and all the listeners out there. Thanks very much.
Thank you, pal. We'll be back after the news at 11:05.
This is the Green Bar Sports on a Sunday morning.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Green Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Billikens win! Billikens win!
Now from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Welcome back to the show. We have a big hour right now. We are going to preview the Bragging Rights game at Enterprise Center. We here in downtown St. Louis at KMOX are within a block or two of Enterprise. We are located in the Park Pacific building. Enterprise Center is just on the other side of the Soldiers Memorial at 14th and Clark, and there are people parking and walking and ready to go. So we have some entertainment for you this hour. I'm going to break down the game here in just a second, and then we'll follow a little special for the Mizzou fans. The Sports Personality of the Year at the Jack Buck Awards on Monday was Eli Drinkwitz. And he, of course, brought the house down with a tremendous speech talking about the past, present, and the future of Mizzou football. And you'll hear his introduction from Athletic Director Laird Veach, and then Eli on KMOX right after that. Then we'll go to our NFL picks and Bernie Miklas. We'll talk a little college football with him. I have some thoughts about the college football playoff and some of the criticism that has come the way of some of these teams. But first, let's talk about the game at hand. The Bragging Rights game today is the 44th edition. I would say I've probably been to 40 of them. Growing up as a kid here in St. Louis, this started in 1980, so right in my wheelhouse. I was 5 years old. I was at that game with my parents, and I went to every game pretty much, maybe missing a couple for work reasons, but for the most part, I hit them all through the years. My dad was a Mizzou grad, and I grew up a Mizzou fan and spent a lot of time around Norm Stewart's program and very fondly looking back at some of these games. I mean, looking at the all-time results, and Illinois leads this series by a pretty wide margin, too. They lead this series 27-15. They are 27-15 in this series. But Brad Underwood's 3-4 against Missouri. We'll get to that in just a moment. But looking back, it's kind of fun to look at the list of games. And I think back to my great memories of those awesome Illinois teams playing against Mizzou and Mizzou being an underdog. But Illinois, when I was growing up in the 80s, they won 8 in a row. From 83 to 90, they won every single game. Think about that as a kid and a Mizzou fan. So my hatred for Illinois grew and grew. Over time, though, when I started working for KMOX in 97, I became infatuated with both programs and how they worked. And so I became a little more of an Illinois fan, except when they play my alma mater, Indiana, of course, got rooted against them. But I've enjoyed what they mean and to this region. And I think this is a celebration of basketball in the region when these two get together. It was fun to watch. My greatest memory was in 1993, the triple overtime game at the arena when Missouri beat number 19 Illinois 108-107 in three OTs. That was the year that my dad passed away. And so I thought about him. I felt like he was with me during that game. And then to watch Missouri win in triple overtime walking out of there was very emotional and fun, all of those things wrapped together. But Illinois has gotten the better of Missouri most of this series. However, Brad Underwood took it on the chin three straight years. Missouri won three in a row. Illinois came back and smacked them in 2021. Missouri routed number 16 Illinois back in 22, 93-71. And then last year, the year that Missouri went 0-18 in the SEC, Illinois just crushed them last year, 97-73 at Enterprise Center. So the matchup today, you got Illinois installed as a three-point favorite. Forget about the spread. This is going to be a toss-up game between the two. They were evenly matched going into this. We all know that. I think that Illinois, let's start with them. Their guard, he's a freshman, Kasparis Iachachonis. He was the Big Ten Freshman of the Week. He is a player. I mean, you are going to really enjoy watching him today. 23 points, 4.5 rebounds, 3.5 assists per game against a pair of top 20 teams, a victory over number 20 Wisconsin, a loss to number 1 Tennessee, but he scored 24 against Wisconsin, 22 against Tennessee. He is a scoring machine, and he is a five straight 20-point games. So he may be the best player on the floor, and he's a freshman. He is a special, special talent, Kasparis Iachachonis. Illinois fell to number 1 Tennessee, but I really feel like they'll rebound in this game and play really well. They're looking for back-to-back bragging rights victories, as I mentioned. But it's also their first game in 8 days. So whether that helps them or hurts them, I think it helps them just rest, get themselves ready, and they've been able to prep for Missouri all along. Illinois is a very, very good program. I don't know that people realize this because they don't, you know, pull down national championship banners there, but they are the winningest team in the Big Ten since 2019. I mean, they are consistently a winner. And I think that they are a program to be reckoned with, and I may go so far as to say this might be Brad Underwood's most complete roster going forward. Now, when I look at Missouri, I see a different kind of team. I see a team that is still a work in progress, trying to find the right mix, but certainly red hot. They have won 10 in a row, and their only loss was to Memphis. And as it turned out, Memphis is pretty good. Missouri is 10-1. They are on their longest winning streak in 11 seasons. They beat Jacksonville State 83-72. It was a little shaky. They were able to pull away for victory, but they did win in double figures. It was a little shaky. They are very, very gifted when it comes to scoring. They're the fifth best scoring offense in the country, 88.7 points per game. But I think their defense is very underrated. They are long and athletic, and they will knock passes away. They will tip passes to each other. They are very skilled when it comes to getting in space and disrupting and then creating offense out of that. They can be very explosive and play downhill on you very quickly. Missouri is a team I think could pull away with a victory here if they can get their crowd on their side. And Illinois will have a bigger crowd today, but maybe not by much. Missouri might bring a little more now that they've gotten more attention after beating number one Kansas. Mark Mitchell is the player to watch for me. I know there are other players on this team, but Mitchell's the one. He leads the team. He averages 13.5 a game, but he averages a little over a block per game. He's the one who comes over from Duke, and I just love watching him play. Tamar Bates is the transfer from Indiana. Know him well. He can be streaky, but lately he has been cruising. He's been really good. He was most recently named the SEC Player of the Week. I love watching him play. He had a great game against Kansas. Tamar Bates, Anthony Robinson II, also scores in double figures. Josh Gray pulls down boards. This is a good Missouri team. And these two teams have met annually since the early 80s. The only meeting, the 2020 during the COVID season in St. Louis. This is an Illinois team that has an all-time edge in the series. But this bragging rights game is a toss-up. It's for anybody, and it is an absolute must on your sports calendar. If you don't have a ticket to today, you should try to get to it. I hope that gets you prepared for the game. It should be a lot of fun. I'm heading over there in about 45 minutes to go catch it myself. Mizzou and Illinois, and if you're going to be watching at home, it's on ESPN. It's on the mothership today, going head-to-head with the NFL. When we come back, a little treat for Mizzou fans. Eli Drinkwitz, the head coach of the Missouri Tigers, accepting the Sports Personality of the Year Award at the Jack Buck Awards. Don't miss it. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday morning.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Milliken's win! Milliken's win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
All right, Mizzou fans, this one's for you. Monday night, the Jack Buck Sports Awards at the Missouri Athletic Club. Let's take you there now.
Please welcome to the podium to present the Sports Personality of the Year Award, the Director of Athletics at the University of Missouri, Laird Veach.
Good evening, everybody. How we doing? All right, just one more left. Okay, so let's hear it. M-I-Z. Good way to start. I want to thank everybody, first of all, for being here to enjoy this evening with us. I want to thank the Missouri Athletic Club for honoring these great Tigers as you have. There's a lot of positive things going on in Mizzou country. We talk about momentum all the time, and it's very true. One of the reasons I feel so good about what's happening at Mizzou is because we have really, really good people. And you've of course seen and are going to hear from some of the stars. One I want to just recognize real quick is in our audience, Kat Kastner. So she's going to be really embarrassed by me pointing out. So Kat, stand up really quick. So Kat joined us here about a week or two before our football season. What you may not know about Kat is she handles all the media relations for football, so she has the unenvious job of trying to corral our head football coach, who, as we know, is a personality. So Kat, you do great work. We're thankful for you. We're also very thankful for the relationship with St. Louis. And I know I've been gone for a little while, but I can't imagine things being better between Mizzou and St. Louis than they have been today. And we're going to continue to take that to another level as we move forward in the years ahead with the Ms. Lou group, the Zoo to the Lou events that we've been hosting. I know we have gymnastics coming here in February. We're really proud of this relationship, and it is extremely, extremely important to us. So know that you're going to continue to see us all the time here in the days, weeks, and months ahead. I want to also say that it is really an honor to have a chance to introduce Coach Drink as the Sports Personality of the Year. I really can't imagine a better title than personality when it comes to Coach Drinkwitz. The personality is obvious. We see it all the time with how clever he is, the remarks, the jokes. The pressure's on here for really, really funny jokes here coming up, Coach. But what you don't always get to see is the man behind the scenes. And after being here just a handful of months and having a little bit of an opportunity to see how he really interacts with his players, it was alluded to earlier, his relationship with Brady. And I get to see that. Others that are with us in that locker room or in the meetings get to see the man behind the video camera that many of you see all the time. And this is a real guy. A guy that really, really cares about his players and really lives it out. You know, it's one thing to talk about the brotherhood. It's another thing to truly live it. He is truly the real deal. And I will tell you, in almost 30 years of being in this profession, one of the things I get paid to do is to observe coaches. And I can tell you, we have a special one. He is extremely talented, and we are lucky to have him as our head coach. You know, it's in so many ways, I feel like a guy that just kind of a new recruit that showed up to the team. And I know I get to play with this unbelievable talent that's going to take us to another level. He's like the quarterback leading our team. And I kind of feel like I'm the center. And it's my job just to get him the ball, protect him, make sure he has what he needs to be successful, and then watch him take us to a whole nother level. So I am extremely thankful, Coach, to be here with you. And if you're one, in case you're one of those people that just want to hear the stats, want to hear the selling points here, Coach Drinkwitz has led our team to 37 wins, including a 27-7 mark on Faurot Field. Mizzou has gone 15-1 during the last 16 home games and have won 10 consecutive home contests, which places us fourth nationally among active winning streaks and second in the SEC. In 2024, the Tigers achieved the 15th perfect home season and the first undefeated mark since 2010. And also, very important to an athletic director, we sold out the 7 home games for the first time since 1979. He has rejuvenated this program, and he has us on the path to experience things we've never achieved before. So please help me welcome your Sports Personality of the Year, Coach Eli Drinkwitz.
Always dangerous to give me a microphone. Laird, a lot of talk of firing people tonight. Don't get any ideas. It's a real humble and honor to be here. I told my wife and girls I was being honored with the Jack Buck Sports Personality of the Year Award. My daughters asked, why would you get that? My wife said, well, he obviously has a lot of personality because they obviously are not looking at his hair. He's wearing that comb over for a little bit too long. So, wife keeps me humble. Have to have a good personality in order to be able to do what I do. You know, it's a tremendous honor to be associated with some of the great names that you see in the history of this award. And for a young man who always dreamed of being a high school football coach from the state of Arkansas, never in my wildest dreams did I think that I would be here in St. Louis receiving such a prestigious award with so many great people. The names, Mark McGwire, Kurt Warner, the list goes on and on. I just couldn't recall them right there. It is really humbling and really special to me, and so I really appreciate it. So from Jody to the past presidents, thank you for having such a prestigious event. To the members of the MAC, what an honor to be here tonight. So I appreciate it. You know, there's some people talked about tonight, and I don't care if it's First Bank, U.S. Bank, Bank of America. We need to talk to y'all about NIL. And I had a great quarterback that was given to me, but I got to go get somebody else out of the portal, and it's going to cost some real money, okay? So no more freebies. In all seriousness, you know, I think about being here tonight in this award. This award would never happen for me personally if it wasn't for Brady Cook. And what Brady Cook means to me... I know what he means to Mizzou Nation, and I know what he means to the Mizzou Tiger. I know what he means to our brotherhood, because they see him and they're proud of him every day. But for me personally, for me to come into this program and he to be the quarterback recruited, the very first recruiting event we had, might not have been legal NCAA-wise, was over at Jim's house. And we had all the St. Louis commits over at one time. And... got to know everybody there. And that's exactly who Brady and his parents are. They're gatherers. And they held our team and that class together. And that's what Brady's done for the last 4 years. He's held our football team together in good times and in bad times. And he's exactly what we needed. And we talked about not needing a celebrity quarterback. I mean, a guy with red hair should be a celebrity quarterback, right? He'll look great in that red jacket. I predict he'll be a president of the MAC at some point. But he's always been and will forever be a battlefield commander. And that's what he was for our football team. There was nobody I would rather have taking a snap, leading us in the fourth quarter on a two-minute drive. We've had ups and downs, but there's been a hell of a lot more ups than downs. And for anybody to be 20-5 in the last two seasons at the University of Missouri, it's been a really special, and it's been an honor to coach you. And I look forward to one more ride with you in this football team, because we're going to get you. We're going to break that record. You know, I want to say thank you to Jeremy for being here tonight. It's been awesome to watch his career as a coach take off, and I look forward to you replacing me here in the next few years. I'm not saying I'm going to get fired, but I am saying if I do, Laird's going to hire him, okay? So it is what it is. It is what it is, right, Coach? It just is what it is. Man, I'm glad I don't coach in St. Louis. 2 years for a soccer club? Holy crap. Football, yeah, big deal. Howard, appreciate all the commentary you have on the radio, always defending my poor decisions. Third downs, going for it. Howard's got my back most of the time. There's two values that we talk about that I want to share with you tonight that are really the hallmarks to our football program and football team that I think have elevated our program, and it's something that I think the city of St. Louis represents. It's always compete. You know, we talk every day within our program about having a competitive spirit. And a competitive spirit for us is not striving against, it's striving together. It's about our brotherhood pushing each other every day to be better today than we were yesterday and better tomorrow than we were today. As a team, as a program, we're always looking to do it better than it's been done before. The things that we've accomplished in the last 2 years, whether it's been 13 consecutive sellouts, 7 wins for the first time since 1972, or 7 consecutive home wins, whether it's Brady Cook breaking records or leading us back from fourth quarter drives, we are competing to be better today than we were yesterday. And it's that competitive spirit that's going to continue to drive us forward as a Mizzou football program. And we need everybody. We need everybody in St. Louis to jump on board with our program, including the banks, including Purina, anybody that can support us. We're looking for a competitive advantage. See, you can, I'm going to say some bad things here. You can support the Royals, the Chiefs, Sporting. Eh. You, You can support City. You can support St. Louis, the Blues, the Cardinals. But every one of us are Tigers. And we need everybody pushing in the same direction to represent this great state and this university and our football program to take us to new heights. Yes. And while this year we came up a little bit short of our goal of making the playoffs, we're right there. And I know that this senior class laid the foundation for us to compete for that opportunity next year. And we're always going to compete for championships at the University of Missouri and with the Mizzou football program. The second one that we talk about is enjoy the journey. You know, this has been a heck of a journey for the last 5 years, whether it was at Union Station with Mike Jones and DJ and getting the lay of the land and understanding how important the city of St. Louis was for us in recruiting. It was making sure that we got the next great wide receiver out of the city, somebody to replicate the career of Jeremy Maclin, which is what we did with Luther Burden, and now with Kevin Coleman. Yep. There's a quote by Tony Dungy. It says, "It's about the journey, mine and yours, and the lives that we can touch, the legacy we can leave, and the world we can change for better." And I know that the journey that I've been on for 5 years with Brady Cook in this senior class, I know that these guys have left a legacy. And I know that, as Brady said, he left a place better, much, much better than he found it. See, too many times in society, we're focused on outcomes. We're focused on constant comparisons. But we know at Mizzou football, comparison is the thief of joy. And we know it's not about the outcomes. It's about the journey that you're on and enjoying and finding joy in the hardships and the toughness, about finding joy in the failure and the adversity. Because we understand that true obstacles in our journey are just helping us become stronger, tougher, and more ready to achieve the life that we want. You know, in my career, I've been a part of national championships, conference championships, great wins, storm in the field, winning over Ohio State. But the best thing that I've realized is it's not about those wins. It's about appreciating the moment. See, I'm just living a dream. Never in my wildest dreams did I think I would be able to be at the Jack Buck Awards, winning Personality of the Year. Hell, I didn't even know that was an award. I'm just a former high school coach who somehow, some way, found an opportunity and took advantage of it. And at some point, this ride's going to be over, and my career will be done. But my hope is that my journey, like you in here, will have impacted some lives for the better. So I'm very appreciative of the award tonight and the recognition, but it's not my recognition. It's the team's recognition. It's the lives that I've been associated with. So appreciate y'all and MIZ.
Eli Drinkwitz, the head coach of the Tigers, accepting the Sports Personality of the Year award at the Jack Buck Awards this past week. And we appreciate Coach Laird and everybody else. Brady Cook brought the house down with a great speech, too. All the Mizzou representation was very special inside the Missouri Athletic Club on that Monday night. We'll be replaying the entire awards on New Year's Day, so be ready for that here on KMOX. When we come back, we'll do our NFL picks with a special bonus. I will pick the college football playoff games, all four of them that are coming up around New Year's. Yeah, we'll do them early. We got the spreads already, so might as well just go ahead and do it. Let's be the first to make the picks. And then we're going to hear from Bernie Miklas. He'll be with us at 11:45. You're listening to Sports on a Sunday Morning on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday Morning.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Milliken's win! Milliken's win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Dan comments on Facebook, appreciate you guys spending your Sundays bringing us sports on a Sunday morning. You've carried the tradition on very well. Dan, really appreciate that. Merry Christmas to you as well. Our listeners are the reason why we do it. They love this show. They've been listening to it since way back when Bob Burns and Bob Bragg and, you know, we had a whole list of people who have hosted this show through the years, most recently Ron Jacober, Mike Kelly. It's been great to carry on the tradition. And for our producers here, Drew Young, John Camp, it's great to be with you all. So thank you very much. We have a really fun segment now that I know some people enjoy. It's our NFL picks. Let's get it to it.
key block by the left guard, Tom Ackerman. And right here, let's go downstairs to Bonnie.
Marv, if you remember that big run Robert Holcomb had on the first drive, one of the guys responsible on help busting him loose was Tom Ackerman.
Tom Ackerman up front, and this is a unit that has played very well. A good night for Eddie George. 21 carries, 74 yards. The left guard, Tom Ackerman, with the block that set him free. It's a first down.
Well, it's always great to represent the great offensive lineman Tom Ackerman and the former Tennessee Titan. Let's get some NFL picks, but first let's sneak in some college football playoff picks. You know, they've already set the spread for these four games, so we might as well. Let's do it. And I'll comment on Indiana and the critics coming up when we have Bernie Miklas in 5 minutes. I'll save it for then. But let's look at these college football playoff games. The first one will be New Year's Eve, 6:30 kickoff for Penn State and Boise State. Penn State's a 10.5-point favorite against Boise State. Penn State's 7-0 all-time in the Fiesta Bowl. That means absolutely zilch in this game. Boise State's really good, and I know that they play a softer schedule and they play in a lesser conference, but they have scorched everybody since losing to, you know, their only losses to Oregon. Do you remember what that score was? This is Oregon we're talking about. Number one team in the country. 37-34. Do you know where that game was played? In Eugene, Oregon. Boise State's good, folks. They have the best running back in the country. Penn State just crushed SMU. They're not crushing Boise State. This will be, it's a 10.5-point spread. I got Boise State plus 10.5 in that one. Then you'll have Texas and Arizona State. Same thing. Spread is 14. I don't know if you've been watching Arizona State recently, but they've been very good. They just absolutely annihilated Iowa State in the Big 12 championship. Iowa State's darn good. They smacked them around. Texas, I really like the way they play. But I'm going to take Arizona State plus 14 in that game. Give me two touchdowns before I start the game. That's fine. Now, here's the showdown. That's New Year's Day at noon. New Year's Day at 4 is Ohio State at Oregon. Two Big Ten powerhouses going head-to-head. It was a one-point game last time in Eugene. Ohio State favored in this game by 2.5. And while the Buckeyes have been awesome, recently with that win over Tennessee, and then they fell on their face before that against Michigan. But the Buckeyes are loaded with talent. In the rematch, I'm going to go Oregon again. Oregon plus 2.5. Oregon is high-powered. They've got good defense. And I think the Ducks will do it. Plus 2.5, I'll take the Ducks. But that is going to be a great game. I would not be surprised if Ohio State won it. That's a tough one. But I'll take the Ducks. I got to take the number one team in the country plus points. Notre Dame is a 2-point dog against Georgia. Well, well, well. The Georgia Bulldogs, we're going to hear a lot of talk out of them. Or maybe not. They've done a lot of talking, the SEC champions. But they are a 2-point favorite against Notre Dame. Give me the Irish plus 2. Quickly, here's some NFL. Giants and Atlanta. Falcons, a 9.5-point favorite. I will take them minus 9.5. Detroit at Chicago, give me Lions all day, minus 7. Tennessee at Indianapolis, I'll go Titans plus 4 in that one. Rams at Jets, Rams minus 3, please. Philadelphia at Washington, I like the Eagles minus 4. Arizona at Carolina, give me the Cardinals minus 5.5. Cleveland at Cincinnati, I'll go Cincinnati minus 10 at home. Boy, it's going to be cold there. Seahawks plus 2.5 at home against the Vikings. I know that might surprise you because the Vikings are hot, but I like the Seahawks and the points at home. Buffalo minus 14. Give me the Patriots plus 14, making that a little bit closer. Jacksonville at Vegas. I like Jacksonville plus 2.5 there. Raiders are awful. San Francisco at Miami. I'll go Miami plus 2 at home. Tampa Bay at Dallas. I'll go Bucks minus 4, and New Orleans at Green Bay. Give me the Packers. They're hot. Minus 14. A lot of points, but I'll do it. Bernie Miklas is next.
The Bernie Miklas Report is sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, an American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports on a Sunday morning.
Goldschmidt swings and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Gray Bar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Milliken's win! Milliken's win!
Once again, from the Stifel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
I get to spend the next 7 minutes with my pal Bernie Miklas. Good morning, Bernie.
Good morning, Tom Ackerman. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. The college football playoff, they were all lopsided games. Isn't it something that it turned out that Indiana was the closest game? I know they scored a couple of late touchdowns to make it 10, but boy, I heard a lot of, what did you used to call them, carnival barkers, talking about the SEC. The SEC this, the SEC that. Tennessee would be like the sixth best team in the Big Ten. Am I doing that right, Bernie?
You know, I'd have to look at that. I trust your word, but you know me, Mr. Research. Tennessee, listen, I'm going to stick up for Indiana in this regard because all of a sudden, I mean, you know, the guys were – Will McDonough was going nuts on the broadcast, you know, and then, you know, Kirk Herbstreit was going nuts and, you know, Indiana didn't belong, shouldn't have been on the field, blah, 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 blah. Okay. I'm not even going to debate the merits of like their record because you're 11-1 in the second best conference in America. I think you should be in the playoff, and also it all depends on what the selection committee's criteria is. Based on their criteria, Indiana belongs. But here's what I don't understand. Okay, if we're going to sap Indiana as some in the media did, a lot of national people. These are the same people. All you know me. I study games. I study how people are investing in the games, like the betting trends and everything else. And I was astonished that people, you know, were just, you know, coast to coast writing off Ohio State, all because they lost to Michigan 3 weeks ago, as if they couldn't rebound, as if they didn't have a chip on their shoulder, as if they wouldn't be fired up because of something to prove. And a lot of money was coming in on Tennessee, and a lot of media people were picking Tennessee to win outright. Well, explain something to me. What's the difference between the way Tennessee lost and the way Indiana lost? Was there any difference? I don't think so.
No, you know? But because they have the T and they're the brand of Tennessee, nobody's going to say, like Kirk Herbstreit said, that Indiana got outclassed by Notre Dame. You'll never hear him say that. Tennessee got outclassed. How dare anybody threaten somebody who's a member of the club? See, I get it. Indiana's like the new kid in school who's eating lunch by themselves right now. They're not in the in-group yet. So I got it.
Yeah, I mean, in Tennessee, listen, I know they didn't have Dylan Sampson, really. He had that hamstring. That would have maybe made them more competitive. Don't get me wrong. And I thought the redshirt freshman quarterback really played well, considering, you know, every circumstance working against him. Yeah, but you know, for all the praise of the Tennessee defense, they couldn't cover the pass. They didn't stop the run, which they did all year. So I'm just saying, like, you know, it's easy to jump on Indiana, but to me, based on what everyone was saying before the game, to me, the most disappointing team in the weekend was not Indiana. It was Tennessee from the big, bad SEC.
Yeah, definitely. SMU got it handed to them by another Big Ten team, Penn State. The Big Ten's got three teams in there, Penn State, Oregon, and powerful Ohio State. So we'll see how that all turns out. And yeah.
How about Penn State of the three Big Ten teams? How about them having the easiest path of the three?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
How about that? If people want to complain about the committee or the format, there you go. That, to me, that's the number one thing on the list. But anyway, go ahead, my friend.
No, exactly. I think it's going to be a great playoff moving forward. And, you know, I think as an Indiana fan, that's it. I mean, you wear it. You say it's been a fun year, and it really, really was, and let that be fuel for more because Kurt Cignetti will keep that thing rolling. It's going to be a fun playoff. What do you think about today's bragging rights game, which is about to tip off?
I can't wait. This is a huge game for both teams, but I'm going to say it's huger perhaps for Mizzou because of the standpoint. I think Brad Underwood will get the Illini in the NCAA tournament. You know, he just always reloads. They have some really good young talent. But Mizzou, that huge upset, a wonderful, wonderful upset over Kansas where they just really dominated most of the game. They have to prove that wasn't just a fluke, like a random event, because Mizzou's going to have a chance to win the NCAA tournament. That win over Kansas will be on their resume, and it'll be shining on their resume. But that now you got to follow up by beating a really good Illini team that I think will be a tournament team. And, you know, Mizzou and Illinois are both hanging around just outside the top 25. Mizzou can't afford to just kind of like revert and, you know, play a really bad game today and then have everyone say, well, you know, so much for that Kansas win, you know, that kind of thing. And it's, you know, Mizzou's got a lot to do in this game to win it. I mean, you know, Illinois is in a tremendous offensive rebounding club, and we know that Mizzou does not keep people off the offensive glass. You're the deep, whatever it is. They don't prevent offensive rebounds is what I'm trying to say. Mizzou's going to have to defend the three because, gosh, the Illini just love to shoot threes, and you got to defend them. You can't let them get some confidence going. Mizzou's got to do what they do best, which is like steals, turnovers, a lot of free throws, drive to the basket, try to get Illinois in some foul trouble. And I do think there's a couple matchup problems potentially for the Tigers. Illinois' big, their big dude, he's a 7-footer, but he likes to roam the floor. And that could be tough for like Joshua Gray, the Mizzou center. That could be tough. He's really good down low defending the paint. But if they're going to go with him, he's going to be chasing Illinois big all day. And, you know, that could create some mismatch problems. So we'll just see what happens there.
That's a real nice breakdown. About a minute to go, Bernie. And finally, your thoughts on Paul Goldschmidt wearing pinstripes.
I think it's a really good fit for him. And I don't blame the Yankees at all for taking a chance. You know, Paul Goldschmidt was brutal the first 3 months of the season. Final 3 months of the season, he slugged .473. He was 16% above the league average. Showed the power started to return. And I just want to point something out, too, for my friend RJ Anderson at CBS Sports, a great baseball analyst. You know, he was pointing out that, Yankee Stadium is known as a place for left-handed batters. And he said, don't sleep on how friendly it can be to right-handed power either. According to StatCast, Yankee Stadium had the third highest home run factor for right-handed hitters over the last three seasons. And also over the last three seasons, Busch Stadium was 22nd. So the point being, Goldie's going into a home baseball park that is much, much better for right-handed power hitters.
That's a really, absolutely 100% on target point. And I look forward to seeing what he does there. I really, really like Paul Goldschmidt and wish him the absolute best. Bernie, you are a must follow, must subscribe on YouTube at The Bernie Show. We love having you part of the Gas House Gang, which we will do tomorrow. I'm heading over to Enterprise Center right now to watch some hoops. Have a great rest of your day.
You have a great – enjoy that. And looking forward to Gas House Gang tomorrow at noon Central Time on CamoX.com. You also go to the YouTube channel for Gas House Gang. You'll find it. We're all there yapping. It's great stuff.
It is awesome. That's Bernie Miklas. I'm Tom Ackerman on KMOX.